The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I wanted to do 12 episode themed sections of podcasts, and we're nearing the end of our very first one here on I Should Be Writing Season 18, Episode 54.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my
And hi there. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. I live stream this show on Tuesday, Thursdays, usually, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and then later it gets polished up and updated and all shiny and put into our podcast feed, which you can follow at merverse.com. So check us out live, or you can download the podcast whenever it is convenient for you. But I'm going to say something I don't normally do, which is say my credentials, because it matters. I started writing professionally in RPGs in 2002-ish, I think, with White Wolf RPGs, and then I started selling short stories, and then I self-published some stuff via podcast, and then I started publishing novels traditionally in 2013, and as of October, I will have had 6 books out, including a Star Wars novelization, a Hugo and Nebula nominated book, and a Minecraft novelization, or original story in the Minecraft universe. I'm saying all this because any jerk I hesitated because I didn't want to swear. I don't swear and I should be writing. Any jerk can give out writing advice, and they often do. And it's funny because when I started this podcast, I did not have a lot. I did have the RPG experience, but I didn't have the fiction experience. But I was selling it as a newbie talking to other newbies, let's get through this together kind of concept. I listened to something very maddening this weekend and wanted to address it here. But first I'll say what I've been up to. I've been actually writing, and I mentioned last week that I'm writing a bunch of crap just to get it out of the way, and I did that again yesterday. I was writing something that I know can be longer, but I'm trying to put it into like a 2,500-word short story. And I like where it's going, and I like my characters, but I was just sitting there today going, I can't tie this up in 1,000 more words. I don't even know what the main conflict of the story is yet. Because I envisioned it as a bigger project. And then I, you know, took a break, took a shower, got some food, and then I sat back down, and I was actually thinking about folding clothes, but then I thought, one of those very weird things where you think one phrase, and then you've got something. So after writing like 1,000 words in one short story that I don't think is going to be a very successful short story because it needs to be something longer, I actually got down the first draft of a nice little short thing that's very weird, but it's a transcription from a woman about how she's trying to she's auditioning for a reality show mainly to get away from her dog who's famous. I need to work on the log line. It's a little weird, but I wrote it, the beginning, middle, and end. It's all done. So that felt good, because that's another thing that's been on my list of things I have to do, but I can't think of anything to do for it, kind of thing, this summer. And maybe it's bad that it took me so long to think of it, but I don't care. I'm calling it a win. I don't have anything under a hard deadline right now, so I'm just playing around. Ian writes, do you ever outline a book from start to finish prior to writing? Well, I have to now. This is something that pro writers don't talk a lot about, but your first book needs to be sold on spec, which means you have to write the whole thing, because they need to know. Like, plenty of people can start a story, but you've got to stick the landing. And you got to know that you can write 80,000 words. A lot of people fizzle out at like 20 or 30. So that's why your first book has to be finished. After that, you're technically a pro, and the publisher wants like an outline for your next book, because you don't have to write the book from beginning to end, because they know you can do that. So suddenly I found myself in a position of hating outlining, and then suddenly it's a vital part of my job. It's in my contract right now. Part of my contract is I will get paid a portion of my advance once I deliver the next outline for the next book. So, have I ever outlined a book from beginning to end? Yes. Have I followed that outline? Kind of. I'm a discovery writer, and my best ideas come literally in the middle of writing. They don't come at the outline stage. So I think one of the few things that stayed true the second time around in the story was the general conflicts and the general characters, but all of the details, not really. Those all changed. So, yeah, I hate outlining, but it's becoming more and more vital, because if you write for a living, you don't want to be writing a book that you don't have guaranteed that someone's going to pay you for, because that's wasted time. And granted, I'm thinking perhaps I will be better off if I did that, because I have found in the past that sometimes the story that I imagine from the outline that I turn in is not the same story that my editor or agent imagines from the outline I turn in. And that can suck. So if you just hand them the manuscript, they can't say they envision something else. On the other hand, that's writing an entire book without any guarantee that they'll buy it, which is rough. I'm going to take a quick look at chat. Space Valkyrie stares at my 20,000 messy draft. I don't know what you mean. Yes, I know. I like Discovery Writer better than Pantser. Yes. Hi, Primalina. Good to see you. I also like Underpope likes the term gardener. That's interesting. Gardener as opposed to architect. Hey, Preemie. I gave my credentials for the first time in forever, which felt awkward and weird, but, it fits. And, I complained about my week so far, which has been another trip to the vet plus, estimate for a expensive AC unit replacement. So that's pretty much it. Pantser brings undue attention to my crotch area. Yeah, fair. short story writing process. Write a few paragraphs of an idea, hate it, abandon it, come back, do it months later, and sometimes finish it. Yeah. So, I wrote a short story. I wrote part of a bad short story today, and then the entirety of another short story. So I'm pretty happy with that. I will probably lengthen it on edits, but for now, I'm happy with it. Let's get to good news. I'm going to say my good news is I haven't, my migraine went away, finally. I'm going to see the physical therapist later on today. So, hopefully they'll be able to fix any remaining problems I have. But overall, I'm feeling a lot better. I believe Kay Kimmy mentioned something about dental work going well, so congratulations. Ianna says, I suppose that also explains why we won't see another Shambling Guide anytime soon. The publisher determined not to continue that series. And yes, I see what you mean about the writing on spec thing. Yeah, I could self-publish, but when projects come up that I'll get paid for versus projects that I won't get paid for, the ones that pay me are always going to be the precedent. And I don't know if I could go back to that world. I honestly don't. It's like that's a mindset I haven't been in almost 8 years. Hey, Devo Spice, good to see you. Devo Spice is going to be at Worldcon. We should be in touch. Let me know when you're getting into town. I'm trying to, I've been trying to make connections with people. It's like, my agent canceled and my editor's going to DragonCon. So I'm like, look at all that networking I get to do at Worldcon. All right, cool. Christian Writing has 3 new rejections. 2 were personal. Congratulations. And a short story coming out this week. That's amazing. We will hit those 3 for you. Fantastic. Shards, my good news is there's nothing wrong with my computer and my hand only has strained muscles, not anything serious. That's great. 2 rejections since last stream from Under Pope. Congratulations. And a flash fiction piece written. I'm forgetting to hit the A button because I'm so happy that the rejection counter is working. Let's see. Yeah, congratulations, folks. That's great. Hey, I've got a couple of pitches in to some people, so I might get to join Team Rejection 2 in the future. I joined Team Rejection in the podcast sense when I applied for a grant and didn't get it. Just to keep me humble, right? So yeah, if you have any good news you want to spread, including rejections, because rejections mean you're a working writer, and that's why we celebrate them here. You can come and say them in the chat when it's live, or you can email me at mightymart@gmail.com and tell me whatever your good news is, we'd love to talk about it on the show. So, I've mentioned this before. There was a new social media thing that launched last year, and I just don't think it's found its footing yet. It's called Wisdom. And I tried it out, and several of you guys were very sporting and made accounts to come see me there. It is, think of it like Twitch and without video, but with people able to join you. So someone can say, hey, I want to join your conversation and pop on in. In theory, it seemed like a good idea. What they tried to do is why it's called Wisdom is say that the people it was encouraging to make content on the site were experts. It turned out to be a lot of religious and spiritual people. I'm being very careful not to judge, such content is not for me. But when you load up the app and see who's live, more often than not, it's going to be people talking about religion. There wasn't a lot of writing stuff. I tried to do a couple, and I allowed strangers on to talk to me, and I don't know if it's because it's outside the sort of geek sphere, but I felt very awkward because I was talking to people who were self-publishing only for money. They wouldn't even tell me their pen name because they were just like, romance sells the best, so I write romance for money. And I'm like, okay, that's great. You don't want us to promote you? Okay, sure. And someone who wanted to take my... I tried to go vague with my topic, but then she took it in a completely different direction when I was trying to talk about NaNoWriMo. And I'm just not good at confrontation or dominating a conversation or anything like that. So, it makes me a little nervous to just invite people in. I did find it really useful when I planned on having guests. So the kids are asleep. Valerie and I did a couple of talks, which was a lot of fun. So anyway, I just realized that I'm not going to find my audience there. There's no geeks hang out there. And so I got off, and then every once in a while, someone in marketing contacts me and says, hey, you need to come check out Wisdom. It's changed. It's grown. It's awesome. So I did, and I found people talking about writing. So I was interested to listen to. And one woman talked about bad self-publishing advice, which she went on this thing where... And this woman spent $1,000, and they didn't even tell her what she needed, like a title page. And then you put your name below the title page. And then the next page is copyright. And I feel like that episode of Schitt's Creek where David just says, you're just describing shopping. You're just describing what shopping is. That's all you're doing. And I don't even know what her advice was, because it was just mainly, I kind of zoned out when she started talking about page one should be this and page two should be this. And then she's like, and after your introduction, then comes your book. I'm like, lady, that's the hard part. Why are you taking so much time on the things that are, there are tons of templates everywhere online. All you got to do is search. So then I found another guy, and this one was the one that I just started hate listening really early in, and I couldn't stop. And I did bother the people in Discord with my rants. I was walking, so I could go to Discord and rant about this advice. And it just made me sad, because I have the weird feeling of, because I have been doing this for 17 years, I kind of feel like, well, people have already heard what I have to say. No, not everybody. There are lots and lots of people who still need to hear this stuff. Because anybody can get on the internet and say, here's some writing advice. And this guy, I mean, the first red flag was him talking about Stephen King and the movies he's written. Now, I know Stephen King has worked on films, but he's a novelist and a short story writer. And then Hollywood buys the rights to his films, and he might help out with that, but he doesn't sit around and brainstorm screenplays. So, that was the first red flag. The second red flag was him talking about, Tom Hanks, but he meant Tom Cruise. And he just kept going with that, talking about how good Tom Hanks was in Legend. And yeah, it was... And then he started getting into advice on how he was right in that every character should have their own voice. But he's like, I'm working on like a poem slash short story. Oh, dog with cone is here. Hello. Sorry. Dog distraction. So he said he wanted to write a poem slash short story where there were no dialogue tags at all. And his dialogue was going to be so unique that every character, you would be able to tell what they said. And I'm like, it's not a screenplay. He was talking about the media of books, comics, movies, and television as if they're interchangeable. As if his one advice on dialogue is blanket advice. And the good thing about this guy was that he gave me many ideas for shows. In fact, he gave me the entire idea for the next 12-episode session I'm doing, which is going to be about myths. But the guy kind of talked himself around. And I don't know if this guy's ever... I think he self-published a children's book. And he was bragging about a screenplay, but then he admitted he hadn't finished it yet. And then he... But he was saying, you know, when you're writing dialogue, don't put your politics in there, because people know. And there's a woman who wrote Miss Marvel who put her put herself in there. Put herself in the story, and everybody hated it, and she got fired. And I'm like, wait. Are you talking about the comic or the TV show? What do you mean, put herself in there? Did she put, was she a Muslim woman writing about a Muslim woman? Or a Muslim girl? Did she make a comic book writer save the day instead of Kamala? Did she put her name in? I mean, how do you put yourself into a story? How do you do that? But no, this guy's just like, she put herself in the story. Ms. Marvel sucks. And then he says, oh, but there is one way you should put yourself in the story. And then he described how he did it, of course. But then he says, you want to take... Just imagine what you would do in that situation. If you're writing about Superman or Wonder Woman, imagine what you would do with these powers. I'm like, dude, if you're lucky enough to write Superman or Wonder Woman, you better freaking know what Superman or Wonder Woman would do. No one cares what you would do. You have to come up with different characters than just yourself. And I was just... I was angry, but also it hurt knowing that this guy was presenting this as writing advice. Like the suggestion that you shouldn't need dialogue tags. Well, dialogue tags are good. Because not everybody says... I know I've talked about how if you take like a Sex and the City or Buffy the Vampire Slayer script and strip all the names out, you should be able to tell usually what character's saying what. But that's, again, that's the medium of television. It doesn't quite work that way in fiction. Oh, and when the guy would talk about movies, he would say, you know, you got to remember that the actors are going to be putting their own thing in there. And you're just there. Your script is to tell the actors what to do. And I'm like... Have you ever heard of a director? Because you're going to get a really nasty surprise if you ever manage to sell a script. So it just... This is a ranting episode, I suppose. What I really am trying to do is tell you guys that there's... If there's advice that you question... Question it. Look for somebody else. Ask an expert. Don't just take one person's advice as gospel. I have said, and I'll say it again, said many times, there's one writing piece of writing advice that you have to follow. And everything else I say is negotiable. You got to write. You got to keep writing. That's it. That's it. Oh, this guy also said something that was like the thing that Ray Bradbury put in Zen and the Art of Writing that made me stop writing for years. And that was, you should know your characters so well that they talk to you in your head. That it's just like second nature. And I'm like, no, not everybody's brain works like that. I love it when people say that their characters speak in their head. I am jealous, frankly. Nathan Lowell, a good friend of mine who wrote a lot of podcast novels, he said that his story would play out like a movie in his head and he would just write really fast to keep up, which is how he had 10,000 word days. My brain doesn't work like that either. And that's okay. It's okay to sit there and think about what your character is going to say and then write it down and then possibly edit it later. That is a perfectly viable way to write. If your characters are speaking to you and you can think of a good story to tell about them, great. More power to you. Write it that way. But that is not the only way to do it. And if you can't do it that way, that doesn't mean you're not cut out to be a writer. Please trust me. Pretty sure I've published more than this guy, and I still haven't had a character speak to me. I'm going to check in with chat real quick. Oh yeah, Preemie, there are the, this guy wasn't like that, but I'll address that in a minute. That's a good one. I imagine there's a lot of bad writing advice on the internet, like most advice. Yeah, that's the thing. It just feels weird, I guess selfishly for me, because I have been talking for 17 years on this subject, and I feel like, man, I'm just... Clearly, I've said everything that needs to be said, but clearly there are people who need to hear it, so I need to say it again. Anyway, what Preemie had said earlier was there are people who say they can't read as they write, or they can't read, but they still want to be a writer, but they don't want their writing polluted or contaminated, or they don't want to copy anybody else. And I can tell you from personal experience that if you've ever read a book, that's going to be carved into your subconscious. And if it's a favorite book that you've read more than once, it's going to affect your writing. It is. Even subconsciously. Trust me. And all you gotta do is hope if people make comparisons, they're favorable. Reading while you write is vital. It helps you get new ideas. It helps you keep up with what's being published now. And granted, it's not the best thing to write to the market, but it's good to know that unless you've got a kick-ass idea for a cyberpunk novel, it's gonna be a hard sell. I'm sorry. It's just not very hot right now. And I think urban fantasy might be slowly on the way out, too. And you write what you love, but you need to know what's being published. And then there's the styles. You know, I find it difficult to read classic literature. I have a degree in it, and I find it difficult to read classic literature because the style is not to my taste. Almost everybody in my generation seems to love Jane Eyre and Pride and Prejudice, and I've never gotten into them, ever. I feel like I'm missing something. I had a friend who, like, would carry around a copy of Wuthering Heights. And no, he wasn't a poet who was, or guy in your MFA. He really did love the book that much. I tried to read it. So, styles change as time changes. So, you need to be reading. And also, I'm sorry, if you expect other people to read your books, but you don't have it in you to read somebody else's, you're an ass. That's just the way it is. So, that's pretty much all I have. That's right, I'm going back to the BarCon method. So I'm going to stop the main podcast right now, and then we're going to hang out on Twitch a little bit longer and chat. Again, I Should Be Writing is streamed live twice a week, Tuesday, Thursday, usually, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Or you can subscribe at your favorite podcatcher, and you can find out more about me and my work at merverse.com. The show is free, but you get extra perks and help keep the lights on if you support the Patreon at patreon.com/mightymer, or you can subscribe at twitch.tv/mightymer, which I don't think I said when I said we streamed on Twitch. I'll say it again. twitch.tv/mightymer is where you can find the live stream. Tomorrow I'll be back again with more I Should Be Writing, because today's Wednesday, because of I had an off day yesterday, and then tomorrow night we're doing Brindlewood Bay again. Our murder mavens have stolen an ambulance with two bodies in the back. One of the bodies is in pieces. So yeah, that's happening. And it's Murder, She Wrote meets Call of Cthulhu, pretty much. So I highly recommend it. It's so much fun. But I'm playing that with Ursula Vernon, Gwenda Bond, Joey T. Badger, and Numbers Ninja. And I'll be going to Worldcon shortly. It's September 1st through the 5th. I'll be doing a reading on Thursday night of Station Eternity, and I'll be running an RPG of Brindlewood Bay on Friday morning. So if you're going to Worldcon, come to my reading, please, and sign up for the RPG. I have no idea how many people are going to sign up for it. But that's it for me. I'll see you tomorrow. And until then, you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. Watching the Doctor Who. Yeah, I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.